This is Amarin's.
Hi, everybody. This is Arthur, and welcome to episode 9 of my podcast. I was thinking that I should probably say, for the benefit of new listeners, that I'm a gay American now living in New Zealand. And this week has been a week of revelations. Now, when I recorded last Friday's podcast, I knew that Ramble Redhead was about to put up a show where he'd interviewed me, and where I told my story of coming to New Zealand and so on. And I had also already recorded the show with Archer, so I knew what was in that as well. And naturally, I didn't want to preempt either one of those. So last week's Secrets episode was, in some ways, kind of foreshadowing what I was going to be talking about. So this week, I just want to kind of sort of tie up all the loose ends that are left over from those two shows, and then some usual bits and pieces. But the first thing I want to talk about is age. Because on Tuesday's show is when Archer got me to say how old I was. Now, I have to say that I was fascinated by the comments that came in about that, because they showed a wide range of perceptions of my age, you know, from the 30s right through the 40s. And I just thought that was fascinating, you know, that there would be such a varying view of how old I was. But personally, I've always had a disconnection between the age that I am and the age that I feel. Now, in my teens and 20s, I felt older than I was, and I have to say it really frustrated me that I wasn't treated as I felt, because I felt, say, when I was 18, for example, I felt like I was well into my 20s, and I couldn't understand why people kept treating me like I was 18. It just didn't make any sense to me. But then sometime in my 30s, it all flipped around, and I started feeling younger than I actually was. And I'd say that gap now is around 15 years, give or take, although some days that gap isn't nearly so big. There are some days I feel really quite old, especially first thing in the morning before I've had my coffee. But what's interesting about that, I think, is that because I feel that easily 15 years younger than I really am, that means that the age that I feel is right in the square in the range of how old people thought I was. Now, I don't know if there's any connection there or not, but I just think that's kind of interesting. But it's fair to say that I don't think about my real age when I decide to do something, like podcasting, for example. And, on the other hand, though, I suppose I also don't try to dress young or anything like that, because when an older guy tries to dress like a young dude, it can look pretty damn ridiculous. So I don't do anything like that. And I also don't stay up all night anymore, because the fact of the matter is I can't stay up all night anymore. Although, the other day, for some reason, I stayed up until 3 in the morning, and I got a bit of grief about doing that, as you might imagine. But I actually didn't feel all that bad the next day, which is what really surprised me. In general, I don't feel as old as I really am, and they say you're as young as you feel, and I guess I intend to find out if that's true or not. You know, regardless of how old I feel, the reality is that I am 48, and society does attempt to place restrictions and expectations on you based on age. And the thing I have to say, though, is that I've never had much use for society's restrictions and expectations, and I don't think I'm going to start now. And, you know, one day, if there are still podcasts or their descendants around, I expect to be an elderly person doing those, or at least going out, and, you know, one of the sorts of old people you hear about in the news out doing outrageous things. That's the sort of old person I want to be. Well, I hope so, anyway. But, yeah. You know, as I said in the last episode, the show with Archer, I didn't deliberately avoid posting a photo in my blog or with any of the various social sites or what have you. I just don't have one that's both recent and good, essentially. You know, one that I like well enough to use. And the whole thing about telling my story on Ramble's show was basically because he asked. You know, we were talking and he asked the story and I told it. But as it happens, I actually did record that myself. As a test, back when I was still trying to work out how to podcast and all that. And after that, I recorded a second one, and that's actually what became episode 1, and the other one I just never used. The reason I didn't record it again is because, to me, it sort of felt like I'd already told the story, and I didn't want to do it again. But on Archer's show, when Ramble's show, when he asked me the story, I told it, because that's a whole other matter. Now, the thing about withholding my age, it was actually a little bit more deliberate. The main reason was that I wanted my story to unfold and to be presented, but not all at once. I wanted it to kind of evolve, I suppose. I wanted people to kind of get to know me in the same way that they might if they met me in person. But I have to be honest that there was another reason too, which is my own insecurity, because people make assumptions based on age. They expect you to be a certain way, to think a certain way, to whatever. And I just didn't want people to be making any sorts of judgments about me until they got to know me. Which is, I know it's unfair to other people, but hey, I'm only human. And, you know, I, in the past, have experienced people who make assumptions based on how old I am. And I just didn't want to put myself up for that. I'm being completely honest about that. But despite that, despite the reservations and the insecurity, and despite the fact that I wanted my story to unfold over time, I've always answered direct questions honestly and truthfully, as best I can, unless I have a good reason not to, which in which case I don't answer at all. Like, for example, specifics about how I make money and all those sorts of things, or our family members, you know, anything like that. So when the question came up in the show with Archer, and he asked me directly how old I was, I told. Because, as I say, it's not that I don't want to reveal everything, or most things, it's just that I want things to be presented over time, and I want them to be on my terms, essentially. I don't want to have a situation where I have got to put everything out there all at once, and then let the cards fall where they may. Some people can do that, and that's fine, but that's just not me. I've always been more cautious like that. I think it's just the way I was raised, the way my family is, or was. And, I needed the whole age thing to be something that I was comfortable moving on to. Because the other thing, too, is that when I started all this podcasting, and even listening to podcasting, I didn't necessarily know how old anybody else was. And I had in my mind that I might very well be the oldest person I knew who was podcasting. And, you know, when you're the old kid trying to play with the young kids, sometimes it could be a bit funny. So, yeah, there were all those sorts of issues all swirling around in the background, I suppose. But anyway, that's that. And I'm eventually going to get around to updating my various profiles and so on with my age on it. Although, on MySpace, if any of you have been to my MySpace page, you'll notice it says that I'm 99, which is a long way off, of course. But I did that. That wasn't avoiding age directly. It was just that I thought it was nobody's business, especially not MySpace's, how old I was. And so I didn't want to put it on there. That was the only reason I did. But anyway, as I say, I will eventually get around to updating all those various profiles and stuff with my real age, but just don't expect me to rush and do it right away, because it's frankly not a priority for me. Oh well, be that as it may. In the show with Archer, we were talking a bit about the GPS systems in the cars, and I made a mistake. I said that our GPS system's American voice used the phrase roundabout, and I was wrong. It actually uses the phrase traffic circles when it's giving you directions, and there's a male American and a female American, as I recall. I'm probably wrong about that, too, not because I don't actually have it here, obviously. But, the accent, the American male accent, does say traffic circle and not roundabout. But I thought it was interesting that we have this name for our GPS system, and Archer does. And Michael from QCAS Connecticut said... I'm just looking through the comments to try to see what it's called, because I think... Michael from QCAS Connecticut said that theirs is named Patina. I think I'm pronouncing that correctly. And I was listening to I Say, show number 49. It's by Andrew in Liverpool. And if you haven't listened to that podcast, you really must do it. It's a fantastic podcast. It's one of my favorites. It's an enhanced podcast, and for those of you who don't know what that means, if you're playing a podcast through iTunes and you see that little album art in the corner, where in my case it says Amarin's podcast, One Guy, Two Countries, that sort of thing. With Andrew's, the pictures will change depending on what he's talking about, so you can actually see who he's referring to or what he's referring to, as the case may be. And I know that there are others who do enhanced podcasts, but he does them really well. He just has a really easy way about him in his podcast. So I strongly suggest you give it a listen. But anyway, he and his partner Jason were out driving around looking at houses in the show, in the start of the show. and you could hear the GPS talking in the background. And they said that theirs is named Sebastian Fineworthy. And I thought, oh, that's very posh, isn't it? But, yes. This is probably going to be a kind of abbreviated show because we've got some company coming over for this weekend, and I'm unfortunately don't have as much time as I would like to delve into a lot of topics. Mainly, I just wanted to sort of tie up some loose ends about that whole age thing and about the photo and whatnot, and, as per usual, to go over the comments from the last two episodes. So I'm going to get right into that, and this was from last Friday's show, which was, what was that, episode 7. And Kelvin said, you know, it's strange. I don't remember why it is you don't post your picture. I absolutely love the mashup. Oh, that reminds me. The mashup that I put at the end of the last Friday's show, I probably should have had a little warning ahead of time that it contained X-rated languages and was rated adults only. But I didn't think of it at the time. And, oh well, just consider it that I was burning in the explicit tag on my podcast. But for any of you who didn't appreciate the explicit language, I do apologize. I should have given you a warning, and I just didn't even think about it, to be honest. But, yeah, anyway. So Calvin says, I absolutely loved the mashup. It was wonderful. I'm sure Archer will be suing you because of his Creative Commons license that you have probably now violated that you are using Amazon, which creates a link to monetizing. For shame! Actually, I've never been so grateful I didn't show up for Archer's gangbang as on that particular occasion. A lady's got to have her privacy. Who am I kidding? He says. I actually haven't signed up to your Frapper map because I have a picture of me on it and not some symbol like you or Archer, and I feel it's not fair to unleash my ghastly visage upon such a landscape of graphic artistry. Don't worry. I don't want to sound like I'm pressuring you to put up a picture. Please don't feel as if I am. Love the show, you Kiwi genius, Hugh. Thank you, Calvin. What did I say in my response on the blog? I said, I haven't talked about the photo thing for a long time, but I did in an older post, and I had a link to that. More to come on the subject next week, because I, as I said, I knew that I'd already talked about that with Archer. Glad you liked the mashup, which I wouldn't have done had I been on the show, of course. You don't have to have a photo to be on Frapper. This is a good point for everybody, by the way. You don't have to have a photo to be on Frapper. I have two Frapper mappers without photos. It's actually three now. I use my podcast album art for everything, like Archer, as a sort of a marketing thing. That, and I don't actually have a photo right now. And then I asked him, did you notice I changed the comments to a pop-up? That was for you, dear. This way you don't have to click back to look up something in the post, which apparently gave you some difficulty in an earlier comment section, because he had made a comment on one of the earlier shows and said that he couldn't be bothered basically clicking back to see how something was spelled. Nick in Paris said, you had me rolling in stitches listening to the Archer mashup. Well done. Thanks also for commenting on my podcast. I've been enjoying your show for a while. I understand how you feel about the accent. I talked about it a lot in the beginning. Funny coincidence that it came up on the episode you listened to. In any case, I love your accent. It's sexy. It does sound more Kiwi than American to me, but that's just my take. Take care, Nick. Well, thank you, Nick. Before I read my response to him, I just recently listened to his most recent show where he talks about a variety of things, actually. He talks about the election in France, which I thought was fascinating because he had a perspective on it I haven't heard anywhere else. And so I really enjoyed being able to hear his perspective on the elections. And also, he's got a really interesting way about him in his podcast and the things he talks about. So if you haven't listened to his podcast, there is a link on my blog, and I'll try to remember to put one in the show notes. Do check it out. But I say, thanks for listening. I've been listening to you for a while, but to be honest, only subscribed at the time of the wedding episode I mentioned, and that is a funny coincidence. As for accents, what can I say? We Americans are suckers for accents, and I find yours quite alluring. And I do. He's got a really nice accent. But I've often wondered what it is about us Americans that we just seem to be so fascinated with accents. When I've been in gay bars in America, and I've seen somebody come in and start talking with a foreign accent, I have seen my brothers get weak in the knees at the sound of the accent. And it's just, I have to admit, I don't quite understand why that is, but yeah, never mind. There it is. Archer said, I listened to the whole episode and had things to comment on, but as soon as I heard that mashup on my show, I forgot everything. I loved that mashup. Of course, I have to play it on my show. He did. He played it on his, I think it was Monday show, if I remember correctly. Oh, but I do agree that some things bloggers and podcasters shouldn't share because of privacy and because there are some crazies out there who might steal my identity or get me into trouble. And, you know, that's a really important consideration. I mean, it amounts, in my opinion anyway, to risk evaluation. You consider what the risk is of putting out a certain kind of information and what the benefits are, too, for that matter. In my case, I've probably put out there about as much as I'm going to about my identity and so on. I'm just going to be refining it, I suppose, as things go ahead. I mean, anybody who already knows me, if they listen to this podcast but don't know it's me, does that make sense? Anyway, they'll figure it out. And I don't know. It's just, I understand why there is a need to be discreet, and I share that need sometimes. But I also think that it is a good idea to try to be as open as you can, partly under the old, if you've got nothing to hide, you've got nothing to worry about kind of adage. Although in this day and age, that's not as true as it used to be, because, I mean, more and more Western societies are evolving into surveillance societies, which actually came up recently on VJNet podcast. He was talking about, what was he talking about? Was it Twitter, I think? Twitter or, it wasn't Frapper, I think it was Twitter. Anyway, he was basically saying that he didn't want to be part of those sorts of social networks and so on, because it was essentially helping Big Brother to keep tabs on you. And there's an element of truth in that. And, you know, you can't necessarily be too anxious to, you know, give all the information out to everybody. But, yeah, it's a difficult one. It's a bit of a conundrum. Yeah, I try to be as open and honest as I feel I can be, and hope for the best, I suppose. But we shall see over time. Tim Carmel said, I'm trying to pronounce his name correctly. Tim Carmel said, great episode. Your show just continues to amaze me. I can't stop listening. And I'm so glad I wasn't on Archer's Gangbang podcast this week. I would have been speechless after listening to it. It's just so true. Anyway, I said, thanks for the kind words, Tim. I agree with you and Calvin, too. I think I'm glad I had to miss this week's show. I would have spent my time giggling like a little kid. Funny how that episode put the moniker Gangbang back into its original context. Which is funny, funny. Anyway, Michael QCast Connecticut said, cool, I've never been part of a mashup before. Thanks for popping my mashup cherry. I think it's funny how everyone's saying, oh, I'm glad I wasn't on that show. I don't understand the big deal. So I said, glad to have given you your first mashing. It was fun to do. I don't know if this will help, but I probably would have struggled on an Archer show last week because sex is a subject I never talk about except in the abstract. That's got to do with my upbringing, the influence of my family, community, church, school, in which repression was the expected behavior. That was one topic that was mostly forbidden, even in the abstract. For me, and probably others, it takes a long time to undo and unlearn that. And that's basically it. I mean, when I was growing up, that was a subject that just was not discussed. They had sex education in schools, but it was really pretty much just biology and physiology. And it certainly wasn't talking about anything important, like what to do and how to do it. It was all pretty clinical when it comes right down to it. And my family didn't discuss things like that. My family wasn't even particularly, what's the word I'm looking for? Not emotional, but sort of. It wasn't a cold family, but it wasn't demonstrative. That's the word. It wasn't a demonstrative family. And it was, in a lot of ways, I grew up with the expectation to be somewhat closed off. And in some ways, it might be a miracle that I'm not more closed off than I am. And the fact that I can even talk about sex in the abstract is probably progress for me. I just, to this day, I don't feel as comfortable talking openly about sex in terms of what I do or what I like to do or what have you as other people do. And I don't know if that's going to change over time. It may do. It may be that as I get older, I get more relaxed, because maybe that's why I can talk about sex in the abstract now, because I've gotten older. I don't know. But, that goes a little bit of a way toward explaining why I, anyway, would have been a bit uncomfortable had I been on Archer's show that week. But you never know. I might have gotten in the spirit of things and might have been fine, but I sort of doubt it somehow. But having said that, I did enjoy listening to it. It was really funny. This boy, Elroy, Adam, said, is the tall poppy syndrome present in gay bars? Is it something along the line of, hey, that guy over there is way too hot, we must ignore him? And I said, sadly, no, the beautiful are still more likely to get the most admirers. there are some things that seem to be fairly universal in gay culture, I'd say. And the ability of the more beautiful ones to get the attention is probably fairly universal, at least in Western society. But anyway, moving on now to the last episode, episode 8, the show with Archer. Adam said, "I love 80s music too, although I was only born in 1980. The songs definitely have staying power, but I think artists are able to be more experimental now thanks to the internet. Gone are the days of having to make music homogenous to pander to the lowest common denominator. The good artists will take advantage of that freedom and experiment into new areas of music, leaving the top 40 genre occupied by the insipid likes of American Idol starlets and manufactured bubblegum papistas." I love that word. "Not only do they perform mediocre music, but they have no soul to back it up. I like having one hub for all content. As a podcast listener, I'm more inclined to peruse the blog after leaving a comment." So I said, first, I couldn't agree more about the possibilities with music. I think the same thing applies to a lot of other creative work, too, and we're only beginning to find out what that may mean. And what I was talking about, basically, was, yes, music, but also, and right now, podcasting, clearly, but also a lot of video. A lot of entertainment things in time they're still evolving, and I think that we're going to be seeing a lot more so-called user-generated content, and there's going to be a lot more collaborative work going on, a lot more sharing, and a lot of really interesting things can come out of it, provided that the corporations don't get in and muck it all up. But the potential is there anyway, and I think it could be really exciting. But I also said, about the point about the blog, I said that's a very good point about having the blog being available after posting comments. I hadn't thought of that. And what that's all referring to is that in the show, I had said that I had these two distinct audiences. I had people who listen to the podcast and never go to the blog, and many of them not even to leave comments. But then I also had people who read the blog and never listened to the podcast. They're like these distinct groups. And I don't know how large the various sizes are. But it hadn't occurred to me that there might be some people who might want to come and leave a comment and then see what I've written about other things. Because I don't talk about all those things, obviously, on the podcast. All the things that I write about aren't in the podcast and vice versa. So it's a very good point, and I think for the time being, at least, I'm just going to leave things as they are. Because, it's working all right, I suppose. And I already mentioned, Michael was the next commenter, and I already mentioned about his GPS. I'm just seeing if there's anything else. I might as well read the whole thing now that I've gone that far. It says, "My GPS unit is Garmin Street Pilot, and my accent choices are only American or British and female. No hot male voices telling me where to go. Her name is Bettina, and I actually first heard her use the term roundabout last week. I would have expected her to say either traffic circle or rotary. In any event, I love her to pieces and couldn't imagine driving without her anymore. One of the best investments I ever made." And that is so true, because when my best friend was over here in October, we took a road trip to Wellington. It's all in my blog if you really want to go read about it. And we took the GPS. Now, we knew the basic highways and all that, but we don't know Wellington. And it was really handy to use that to be able to get around Wellington. And also some other areas where maybe we hadn't been or hadn't been very often. It's a very useful little thing. Calvin said, "You two are a bunch of old men. They don't make them like they used to. My goodness, I was so shocked at your revelation, Arthur, as I had no idea. I thought you were in your mid-30s at the latest. Other than that, I don't think I could get used to driving on the opposite side of the road. Maybe I'm resistant to change. It was a fun episode, though, nonetheless. Strange about the picture. Maybe someday I'll get past that phobia, but Archer's podcast from today isn't helping." Thanks, Calvin. I did say about the driving on the other side of the road that it is actually easier to get used to than you would think. I mean, before I started doing it, I thought there's no way I'm ever going to be able to learn this. But you do, and after a while, it's second nature, and you don't really think about it, especially if you have a GPS to tell you where to go. he says, "Maybe I'm resistant to change." Not bloody likely, Calvin. But what he's talking about the picture on Archer's show, if you don't listen to Archer's show, he was talking about a woman, and I don't remember all the details off the top of my head. I should have written it down, But he is. But what happened was that she had put a picture of herself at a party or something, and she put a caption out of it of something like "drunken pirate." She's in a pirate outfit, as I recall, and she was in a teaching program at a university, and they kicked her out of the program and said she would graduate with a simple English degree instead. And she'd put the picture, I think it was on MySpace or somewhere, and it was a gross violation of her rights, clearly, because there's no way that it was legitimately related to anything to do with either her chosen profession or even the what she was doing at that time. And that sort of, you hear about that sort of thing from time to time, about how, you know, photos that somebody has have put up on the outside influence what happens in their real world life. And that again gets back to that conundrum for bloggers and podcasters about how open to be. And it's one of the reasons why I think that it's often a good idea not to use your real name, because then you can do whatever you want, for the most part. But I don't think it's any of an employer's business if somebody is putting up pictures of themselves on the internet, as long as it's not in any way related to their job, as long as they don't talk about their job. You know, if somebody works for Exxon Corporation, or whatever it's called this week, and they place naked pictures of themselves with a little Exxon logo painted on them, well, that might give the employer pause. But I mean, if it's not relevant to the job, they're not talking about their job, I don't think it's the employer's business what the person does off time. It's not illegal, after all. I don't actually even think that they have a leg to stand on when it talks about illegal behavior. I've often said this. I'm not a fan of random drug testing in irrelevant industries. I mean, if somebody drives a desk all day, what business is it of the employer's what somebody does on their free time, if they smoke a joint on their own time away from work? I just don't think it is any of an employer's business. I mean, I don't use drugs, I never have used drugs, and I won't be using drugs. So this isn't an issue for me personally, but I do think it is an issue of freedom, and I don't think that it's the right of an employer to interfere with an employee's private life. I've heard other stories about employers and what they try to do in managing their employees' off times. And it's just, I wouldn't approve of a government telling a person what to do in their free time and, you know, off in their lives. So I certainly am not going to approve of a private employer doing it either. But anyway, that's just my little rant. And that was all about Calvin's comment about the photo that Archer had mentioned. So what I had said back to Calvin was, yep, older and wiser, as if. As for current commercial music, well, I stand by my remark. Non-commercial music, now that's another matter entirely. Actually, I said, no, that's different. Sorry. Anyway, I'm not worried about a photo, but I have to have one I at least sort of think is almost okay. I don't have one even close to that description at the moment, which is not unusual, to be honest. I don't often like photos of myself, it must be said. I'm not alone in that, though. Anyway, Archer said, I always enjoy being on other podcasts. It was fun. Thanks for having me, Arthur. And I said, my pleasure. You must be on again. I'll tell you, in all honesty, I have more respect for you and your show now that I've had a couple of guests on my show. It's a lot harder than it seems, and you do it so well. And he does, too. It really is a lot of work having a guest on. Not because they're difficult to talk to or anything, but the first two that I've had on, Adam and Archer, are both podcasters that I listened to and then interacted with. In the case of Adam, I'd never talked to him before recording that episode. And I was frankly quite nervous when I started both of them, because I'd been on Archer's group show, but we hadn't talked directly one-on-one before. And so in both of them, I started out really quite nervous, probably less so with Archer because I had at least had some direct interaction with him verbally. But nevertheless, it's something that I have to work on to get a bit better about that, but, you know, we'll see how it goes. Tim Carmel said, hey, Arthur, I really enjoyed the show with Archer. I'm sorry I haven't commented more. I usually listen to podcasts on my iPod while I'm out and about and then forget to go and leave comments later, but I had a couple of specific comments I wanted to leave after listening to this show. When you mentioned that you hadn't heard of most of the artists I interview on Go Rainbow Radio, that is the point. I've dedicated my show to promoting new and independent artists who are struggling to get their voices heard, and podcasting is a great way to get them out there in our new media market of the blogosphere and podosphere. I've found so many great musicians, though, through my MySpace and referrals from other struggling music artists, and I'm so glad that I can help them promote their media offerings, whether it's music, video, poetry, or whatever. Also, I did want to say that I was a bit surprised when you revealed your age, but not so much since you love 80s music so much, and I figured you were about my age at 41. Like Archer, it's so refreshing to see someone who is older than me podcasting. Sometimes I feel like I'm a little too old to be doing this. I love your show, and you've moved up to the top of my favorite podcasters list. Keep 'em coming. And I said, Tim, no worries. I do the same thing. Listen to podcasts when I can't leave comments. Lately, I've started loading up my iPod with podcasts and taking them to work so I can tune out what's going on around me. I said, if I'd thought about it a little more, I should have said that I really like hearing all these new people on your show, which is Go Rainbow Radio. Sure, I may like some more than others, but it's always interesting to hear all these different people and hear all these different people, what they do, how they got there. And it's all stuff that I'd never be able to hear anywhere else. So I really like the show. And I do. I do strongly recommend you listen to Go Rainbow Radio. You may not necessarily like all of the people that you hear. If you like dance music in particular, you'll probably love the show. And I do. So a lot of them, I really quite like a lot of them. Some of them, not so much, but that's okay. I mean, I don't like everything on the radio either, so why should it be any different? But then I said, blush. I said, thanks so much for the compliment. I never miss either of your shows. His other show is Some Call Me Tim. And I think I have a link for that on my site as well. If not, I damn well should. Anyway, which means I need to sort out the link section on this blog because it's no longer completely accurate. If you've looked on my blog, there is one section that says podcasts I never miss, and then the next section is podcasts, other podcasts I listen to. And the fact of the matter is that most of them I listen to all the time. There's a few that I don't listen to regularly anymore, like Feast of Fools and Yeast Radio and things like that, just because they come out too frequently and I can't keep up. So I've limited the ones that I listen to religiously to a few. The only one that comes out frequently there are only two that come out all the time, that come out virtually daily that I listen to, and that's Archer and Democracy Now. The others, fortunately, don't come out quite so often, so I don't have so much trouble keeping up with them. Yeah, it can be a bit overwhelming sometimes to listen to all these people. And like Tim, I don't always have the opportunity to make a comment right then and there. But what I have started doing is if I'm listening to a podcast on my computer, I open up a Word document and I start typing my comments into it as I'm listening, because I know otherwise I'm going to forget things. But that's only if I'm not doing much of anything else, because it gets complicated. Anyway, Condo Blogger said, fun show. Archer really knows how to get you to answer the tough questions. And I said, yes, Archer has a knack for getting information out of people. Damn him. Seriously, his sex shows demonstrate that talent in abundance, getting information from people, I mean. Ramble Redhead said, thanks for putting the link in my show with you as a guest. Actually, he spells that Gaiest. I wonder if that's on purpose. Anyway, it was great fun. I can't wait to listen to the show, and we'll probably comment again. And I actually had a lot of fun talking with Ramble. And I do have a link on my blog to both parts of the interview, or you can go to his site, which I believe is rambleredhead.com, if I remember correctly. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's right. But it was good fun to do, and I've actually had some feedback from some of his listeners who aren't necessarily my listeners, if that makes sense. People who listen to his show but don't listen to mine, in other words. And the feedback has all been quite good, and I'm quite pleased about that. And if any of you are listeners of Ramble's show who are tuning into mine for the first... Tuning in? That's a radio metaphor. If any of you are listening to me for the first time, by all means, feel free to leave a comment or email me directly if I raised any questions that you would like to have answered. Certainly get in contact with me, because I'm more than willing to elaborate on anything. Actually, that goes for anybody. A couple of blog items. I have finally put on links to my MySpace page and my MySpace blog. You don't need to worry about either necessarily. The it's basically just to help promote the podcast, and the blog is nothing but show notes and things related to it. And I've also put a direct link to my Podomatic page, which again is essentially just the notes that go with the MP3 file. But if you can leave comments there as well if you want. That's entirely up to you. But I thought I might as well put direct links onto them. And, of course, no podcast would be complete without a mention of Frapper Mappers. And I have some new ones. I've got two new ones with pictures. Michael from Freiburg in Baden-Württemberg in Germany. Adam, this boy Elroy. Mike Hipp of PodcastSoup.net and Soy Candles by Phoebes. And also one from Freddie in London, which actually, another little aside, someone once asked me, not long after I arrived in New Zealand, why it is that Americans have a tendency to say London, England, Paris, France, instead of just London and Paris. And I actually didn't have a good answer for that. I mean, I know that there are other Parises in the United States. There are probably some Londons, too, for all I know. I know there's a London in Ontario, in Canada. See, there you go. But I don't know why we Americans so often do that. I mean, Berlin, Germany, as opposed to what? Because a lot of other people don't do that. A lot of other countries, people from other countries, don't necessarily say the city and country. I'd be curious to see what other people think about that, why it is we do that, because I don't know. I have no idea. And one last thing I wanted to mention, this is from the news. I saw on Joe My God that a bill has been introduced in Congress, which if passed will basically allow U.S. citizens and permanent residents to sponsor their same-sex partners for immigration purposes. And, you know, this is a great thing. If it becomes law, I think it would be wonderful. I think it's, you know, I'm all for it. However, I don't think it's going to pass Congress, even with a Democratic majority, because, as I said on the show with Adam, Congress has had a conservative majority for probably 20 years, and that's the fact of the matter. And the fact that Democrats now control Congress doesn't change anything as far as that goes. But supposing it does get through Congress, I can't see Bush signing it. I'm certain that he would veto it because he ran two election campaigns and tried as well in the 2006 elections to make gay people and our lives and whatnot campaign issues. So there's no way he's going to now turn around and say, oh yeah, well, forget every nasty thing that I ever said or did to gay people. I'm going to go ahead and sign this. So it doesn't stand a snowball's chance in hell while this current regime is in power, and may not even stand a chance unless Democrats get more seats in Congress in the next elections. Even if it does pass, it won't change anything for me personally because, I mean, I'm settled here in New Zealand. I've been here for nearly 12 years. We're going to be getting a civil union under New Zealand law, and there's just... Oh, I suppose it's a bit of an announcement in a way. We haven't set a date exactly, but it certainly is our intention to do that. Anyway, it's not going to change anything for me personally, but I would really like to see it become law so that other people won't have to go through some of the same things that I've had to go through and that countless others have had to go through as well, where they have to make a choice between their country and essentially their families. I don't think it's right. I don't think it's just. I don't think it's fair. I don't think it's American, but I'm only one person. I'm over here. If you feel differently, if you would like to see Americans to be able to have the same choice that heterosexuals can have when it comes to sponsoring their partner, then I would suggest that you contact your member of Congress and ask them to support the Uniting American Families Act. There are links to that in my blog, and I will try to remember to put one in the show notes as well, because I did a sort of extensive blog post on this whole subject. But I would like to see it pass, and if you're inclined to, do send a note to your member of Congress urging them to support it, because it would be nice to see it pass, even if Bushy does turn around and veto it. And that's about it for this week. As always, feel free to leave a comment on my blog, amarins.blogspot.com, or send me an email to amarins@yahoo.com. That's all for this Friday edition of my podcast, and I will be back to talk to you on Tuesday. Thanks for listening, everybody. Bye.
semana.